Right now, my next interview is on the line, and I've been looking forward to this all day, I must say. This is a really important issue. And in that regard, I'll be chatting to William Bird, the Director of Media Monitoring Africa, an organization that has spent years tracking fairness, accuracy, and bias in South Africa's media. But before I go to William, I just want to set the scene as to why we're talking to William this afternoon. And that is because very recently, I think it was yesterday or might have been just the day before, but Juliet Newell was removed from the South African Broadcasting Corporation's schedule after she challenged an on-air comparison by Mpela Rompela, who compared what was happening in Gaza with what happened in the Holocaust. I think most of us would have a knee-jerk reaction and find that quite an unacceptable comparison made by Mpela Rompela, but nevertheless, she did. Juliet called her out on that and has then been, I'm not sure if she's been suspended, removed, I don't know what removed means, but the powers that be very unhappy with her provocative and mischievous behavior. So that then, you know, raises the question. We know we're living on political fault lines, with us having very strong opinions about this issue, but what are the implications for editorial standards? I don't know, which is why I'm chatting to William this afternoon. William Bird, thank you for talking to us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the program.
This is really, we're straddling a fault line here, a very significant fault line, with a lot of people with a lot of very strong opinions on these issues. What are the principles that one uses to understand what is acceptable and not by an interviewer on a public broadcasting platform?
So I think that the default must be that, of course, the interviewer must feel free and indeed should question when particularly controversial issues are raised or highlighted or taken for granted. You know, they need to be able to say that's a curious thing, or they need to be able to challenge that particular view and ask on what basis they're making that particular claim, whether it's this issue, for example, or whether it's someone who makes a xenophobic comment, to be able to raise that, right? I think the issue here is that the manner in which the interviewer challenged the person being interviewed, there's a view that that wasn't in line with the SABC's editorial policies. So SABC has, they've got really good editorial policies, let's be clear. They have in their editorial policies the commitment to adhere to the highest standards of ethical journalism. And if someone breaches that, then SABC needs to, to have a standard inquiry process into their behavior. Now, what SABC did, which I think was profoundly unfortunate, is in their public comment, they said she hasn't been scheduled because she's a freelancer. So it looks to the ordinary member of the public that their response is to be vindictive and to just say, oh, well, fine, we're not going to schedule you until such time as we decide to schedule you again. Whereas, in fact, what's happened within the newsroom is that they've said, look, this is a very serious issue. We've had several hundred, if not thousand, complaints. I forget what the number was when I last asked them about it. We need to investigate this, and until then, you're not going to be going on air because of the various issues. And as I understand it, this comes in a line of issues that need to be addressed. So in that context, then, you can understand the SABC's response to say we need to investigate that. So I don't think that there's anything necessarily untoward in doing that when it is an issue where you're talking about something that is so significantly controversial.
No, I totally understand that, and there's no denying how controversial it is. It just does raise this issue that I can't quite get my head around, of where one is free to go with an interview in a direction that one is comfortable going and where one can't. Does one sign up if you become an employee or a contract to the SABC? Are you signing up to a pre-agreed set of political views? Is that the expectation from the employer?
No, not political views, but you are signing up to the SABC's editorial policies, which mean that you have to be committed to the highest standards of ethical journalism, right? And the question then might be, well, are they applying those consistently and fairly in every respect? And you may have some kind of dispute about that. But the reality is that those are the standards that anyone who works for SABC has to abide by.
Who adjudicates those standards, Mr. Bird? Who?
There should be. I mean, this is one of the concerns about SABC currently is that they don't have a head of news. They've got an acting head of news, but the head of news is the editor in chief. So the editor in chief will then go through and review the thing and go through a standard process in terms of assessing the complaints about the breach of editorial policies, and will then act accordingly, as they would in any media organization. If you, for example, breach your editorial policies, people will report you to the BCCSA, and separately to that, I imagine your editor-in-chief would then also have a meeting with you, and depending on your precise process, would also then say, okay, this is the step. What did you do? Why did you do it? How do you justify it, etc.? And do that internally and then still go through the BCCSA process, which is what the SABC is going to be doing.
I'm trying to get my head around how this actually works in practice, how South African media should be navigating ethical lines when drawing historical parallels. I mean, does your organization offer any help in this regard? How do you handle these supremely controversial issues with fairness
is that they need to be doing, and again, you know, the one of the consequences of under-resourcing journalists is that they don't have the right kind of production skills, because they should have known ahead of that interview, these are the sorts of things that particular person who's interviewed are likely to say. And when she says that, we need to know how we're going to respond to that. Had they done that, then they could have had a prepared response to say, okay, that's really interesting, because our information says 1, 2, 3. Can you explain to us why you're making that kind of a thing? So that you want to let the viewer decide, is this a view that I agree with, or is it a view that I find completely outrageous? But the problem with that was the manner in which it was then raised, as though it was a surprise, meant that it turned into a thing about the interviewer instead of being about the subject of what she was actually raising.
So does your organization, the Media Monitoring Africa, does it have any role to play in situations like these?
Well, I mean, we can help engage them, and we've done training with them on their own editorial policies. We've made the editorial policies available to them in an actual searchable format, those sorts of things. But ultimately, we can't interfere in whatever internal processes that they have, as we can't in any news organizations. We can offer support and advice if asked for that, but we, you know, it's not our we don't have a mandate to go and interfere in what they're doing.
Okay, interesting. And then I suppose to what extent are broadcasting decisions at the SABC kind of influenced by political or lobbyist pressures? And do you have a role to play in safeguarding newsroom integrity?
Yeah, so there we do. If we get any sense that their processes aren't being carried out fairly, and believe me, the SABC has got so many layers it leaks like a sieve, that okay, if we get a sense that there's interference from the board or from senior management in their process of editorial independence, we'll know about it, and then we'll be able to lodge a complaint about that specifically and take that up with the SABC, with Parliament, you know, if necessary, and otherwise take them to the BCCSA, which we've done on occasions where SABC has gone through exactly that. At the moment, we've had no reports that anyone in senior management or the board have made that decision to say she mustn't be scheduled again. It's from all the evidence that we've heard from SABC staff is, you know, they're following due process, and there hasn't been any untoward interference in that process.
Okay. And then just because this is a Jewish community radio station, I just want to bring it home for our listeners. What message does this kind of dismissal send about media's handling of Holocaust references and Jewish sensibilities in public discourse?
Well, exactly. So I think that the way that they communicated the action against her might lead to someone looking at that and going, oh, you see that they think that this is okay. You know, they think that this is fine, that there's no problem in making those comparisons. And again, the issue isn't whether there is or isn't, but that people need to understand what the hazards are around that particular kind of comparison, why it would be offensive to some people and why it may not be to others. It's about helping the public understand it. So I think that the way the SABC has communicated its response to this has been lacking quite significantly in making sure that people actually have an understanding and that they understand that there's a fair process that's being followed and that views need to be taken into consideration, because lots of people have complained, as is their right and as they should. So ultimately, in the next few weeks or so, these things will be aired publicly through BCCSA hearings, complaints hearings. So people will get a sense of what's actually going on. But I think that at the moment, that initial response really hasn't helped develop understanding and build social cohesion. So to that extent, SABC has failed in its mandate.
So that's interesting. Is that part of SABC's mandate? What did you say? To build understanding and cohesion?
To build understanding and social cohesion. Yep.
That's a good mandate to have. And
clearly, yep, it certainly is.
Wow, William, you certainly have a very difficult job. I mean, talk about straddling social fishes. You're right there on the front line.
It is exactly that.
That's not a job I'd want to do.
But this is why we need to be dealing with these issues in a fair, balanced, and, you know, open manner, so that people can have difficult and hard discussions. You know, democracy is a messy thing, and dealing with things that are deeply controversial and that, as you say, run across massive political fissures require a very, very careful and considered approach when dealing with them, precisely so that people leave with a better sense of understanding than they do thinking one way or the other, right? You want to promote understanding so that there's less likelihood of stereotypes being developed, or less likelihood of polarization, for example.
And all this happening against a backdrop of the reality of social media, where the more extreme, the more clicks, not exactly fostering social cohesion and understanding. So your job becomes even more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, social media rewards actively monetizes misogyny and promotes racism, xenophobia, anti-Semitism, you name it.
Yeah.
Social media almost entirely actively rewards it.
William, what an interesting discussion. Thank you for your time. And like you say, we'll see more details coming out about this incident over the next couple of days. Certainly worth watching. It's quite personal.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.